To Sweden now, a country whose normally measured political system was thrown into turmoil earlier this month. The Sweden Democrats, a populist and stridently anti-immigration party, which is also now the third largest grouping in parliament, brought down the minority coalition government by refusing to back its budget plans. Fresh elections will be held in March. The Sweden Democrats have moved away from their roots in the country's extreme far-right scene to become a more mainstream, if still highly controversial, political force. But Sweden is still home to an active and at times violent neo-Nazi movement. It was one of the first countries to establish a so-called exit programme aimed at helping individuals involved with the extreme far-right to break away. The European Commission believes every member state should learn from Sweden's example, as Stuart Hughes reports from Stockholm.
At the Frisuset Youth Centre on the south side of Stockholm, Johan, he's asked not to use his real name, tells me how he became a member of one of Europe's most notorious neo-Nazi paramilitary groups, the Swedish Resistance Movement.
We were Svenska Motståndsrörelsen, and...
When I was about 14 or 15, my friends split into two groups. One group got into drugs and the other became skinheads. I started to get more politically involved as I got older. I had a friend who was a local leader of the Swedish resistance movement and I told him I wanted to join.
The Swedish resistance movement regards its political enemies as fair game. Johan says he was encouraged to carry a weapon on the streets. During a fight, he pulled out a gun bought illegally on the internet. He was arrested and sentenced to 2.5 years in prison.
I was just angry. I was carrying a lot of anger around. I couldn't get my head around school, so fighting seemed attractive to me. That's what got me into the movement. That's what I enjoyed.
In the 1990s, Sweden became Europe's centre for the production of racist and anti-Semitic music and propaganda. In response, Exit Sweden was set up to support those looking for a way out of the movement. Exit's director, Robert Arell, argues it's primarily social factors rather than a deep commitment to extremist ideology that draws men like Johan into the neo-Nazi scene.
The far-right movement is very good at channeling difficult emotions, hatred, shame, being afraid, by making it into aggression. What we try to do is to look at what is happening within you. Why do these different situations or thoughts or events trigger aggression? And what could you do instead?
Robert Arell, like many Exit staff, is himself a former white supremacist. He says extreme political beliefs often fall away once militants create a new life for themselves outside the movement. But he warns the rise of the Sweden Democrats could make it easier for intolerance to thrive.
Looking at white power groups, I would be worried about polarization. The Swedish Democrats who are in parliament, they would validate this polarization by saying there's us and them. And I think this would be dangerous because all of these groups on the right or left or religious side that wants to create us and them, they like this. They want this type of polarization. So I think this would be definitely a risk factor.
I've come south of the centre of Stockholm to the suburb of Kärrtorp. It was here in the square I'm standing in now that members of the Sweden resistance movement clashed violently with demonstrators a year ago. They were protesting against the appearance of racist graffiti and propaganda in this neighbourhood. Daniel Poole is editor-in-chief of Expo magazine, which investigates the far right. He also fears the creeping normalisation of racism in Swedish society.
I'm worried because the far right has more self-confidence than in all years I've been trying to explain them. We have a coming election which I fear will be the most nasty election ever when it comes to how people in this society is described, where racist IDs will pop up in working places, at parties, as something that you suddenly can say and it's okay. And that scares me.
Back at the Fryshuset Youth Centre, Exit Sweden encourages clients to engage in new interests like basketball and skateboarding to replace the adrenaline rush they once gained from street fighting. But the Exit model has its critics. Liz Fakiti from the Institute of Race Relations in London says its non-judgmental approach allows individuals to skirt around past actions without having to take full responsibility for them.
The ethos is not to look at the neo-Nazis' ideology, tends to look at their grievances. They come saying that they're frightened to leave the scene, there's all these problems that they'd had in their social background. So there's a kind of sense that they are the victims. And in that context, there's not a focus on what they have done.
Jag tänker inte så mycket på det. Alltså, det är väl det att jag tycker det är pinsamt, jag skäms för hur man har betett sig och så. Men...
Johan says he doesn't dwell on the years he spent as a member of the Swedish resistance movement. Now he's broken away with Exit's help. He says he no longer needs the black and white certainties the movement gave him, like the swastika tattoo on his wrist that's disappearing with laser treatment. That has faded. But the direction this country, which prides itself on inclusion and tolerance, will take after March's election is far less certain.
Stuart Hughes on Sweden's Exit programme.